Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the PHNX Suns podcast. I'm Lindsay. That's Saul. That's Plex. That's Espo. And unfortunately for all of us, the Suns are down 2-0 in the series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We did air a lot of our grievances in last night's show, but now that we've had a night to sleep on it, a morning to think about it a little bit more, how are we feeling?
I'm good.
You just asked in basketball. Don't we usually talk
good
about
last night? I was good last night. I'm good. I was able to last night. I watched some of the film. Man, Minnesota played good. They just played good. You got to give them credit. Tip your hat. They played their butts off, and that energy in Minnesota was fantastic. And I just feel like we're gonna get a little bit of that when we come back home, and that could be the difference. This could be one of them series where you know the home court plays a big advantage. Somebody's gonna have to win. We would have to win on the road. They don't have to. But I'm not sure, but I'm looking forward to Friday.
Look, last night was a tough game, so I went to my masseuse. I got my cupping done. I'm ready for game three. I got to feel physically right to get in that mindset.
Okay. I might need their phone number. I want to try cupping.
Look,
I do want to try that.
The chat's saying it. I trust the corgi. Not really, okay. But you know the corgi predict them to win four in a row. So
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off. So I do have some news that I think I should share. I got some very positive feedback from about Grayson Allen.
Oh.
And I believe that Grayson Allen may play Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It wasn't as bad as it looked. And it was the same ankle. And he's getting treatment around the clock. But there is optimism that he could actually play and start on Friday. So that's good news. That was the best news I got.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Take the hell out of that thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, it's not like having Grayson Allen is going to hinder them. So he can only be a positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good basketball player. And they need him. They need him. Because when the big three don't show up, then who you got? You need somebody to help. So... My reflection on last night was more, I don't know if I can even say disappointed, because I kind of do feel a little bit like this team could very well turn around and win the next two games, and then all of this is for nothing, and it's a three-game series. So I'm not going to put the cart before the horse. I'm going to wait till Friday, see how it plays out, and if they lose Friday... Then they are who they are. But if they don't, then
yeah.
I will say I checked again since last night. It still is 7.3% of those are the teams that have won when they go down 0-2. But I will say this. There's a second time for everything. The Suns have done it once. Maybe they can do it again. They win at home. Win the next two, make it best two out of three, and anything can happen. Because I think you and I were talking about this. It puts the pressure on the Wolves, who are a younger team at that point, right? And maybe that changes the dynamic. And that's what you have to hope for. That is your one hope. Because if you split this, you haven't done your job. And you basically put yourself in a situation, an untenable situation that you're likely not getting out of.
I could see that. I also thought that there was a lot of pressure on Minnesota to begin with. this series because they had lost three in a row. They got housed at three in a row, and they knew if they dropped one of these, that series could have been very well over at that point. And they came out and they handled their business, and they didn't even blink. So I don't really know how much I would buy into the fact if we were 2-2 going back to Minnesota, how much pressure would be on them, because I feel like they've kind of seen that pressure in game one. So
it's a little different.
It's different.
Sure, it's different, but it's my opinion. So
No. You're right.
No, I think that's fair. I think it's interesting because you're right. They did gain a lot of confidence in winning these first two games. So maybe it does shift the dynamic where it's like, we're going home. We know we can kick these guys' ass in Minnesota, and fine, they won at home. I still think this is going seven, like I've said, but I don't have as much faith that this team's going to win on the road in Minnesota now. I think they will make this interesting. A lot of people are already writing this off that this is going to be a sweep. You got national people like Bill Simmons. It'd be weird if Ben Simmons was doing this. Bill Simmons trying to trade Devin Booker already. He was talking Booker trade scenarios on the Bill Simmons podcast. You got people on ESPN talking about the dynamite's already been lit. They're about to blow this up. Don't put the cart before the horse. I think they will make this an interesting series, but I'm still not confident that they're actually going to win.
I mean, I think you could make that argument regardless of what happens in the playoffs, unless they win the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Like at any point in time, a team who doesn't win a championship is at risk of blowing things up to a certain degree. Don't win a championship, something might need to change.
We're two games in.
I know, but I'm just saying they can say that now because they can point to it in the summer if it happens and be like, see, I told you. But it's also like, yeah, but you could say that probably about 27 teams.
No, you're right.
But it's all about perspective, Espo. They're two games in, but they could be 50% done with their playoff run.
I mean, that's very true. But I just say, wait until you're 75% through and then start trading everybody. If it ain't nailed down, move it out, I guess, at that point. That's I was listening on my way in today to the Simmons podcast. I was just like, really? We're going through trade machine already? Like, A, it's not Tuesday, and B, we're two games into the first round. Like, give it until game three.
I think people got chill a little bit. I'm going to take a perspective as if I was a Minnesota fan. Let's say I was a Minnesota fan. I'm rooting hard for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm asking myself, is this Timberwolves team really good? Is this team really about it? Well, if they are, they'll come here in Phoenix and get at least one. That's what they need to do. If I'm a Timberwolves fan and the Suns come here and get two, I'm nervous because I'm saying all that hard work and all that momentum and all that doubt that we put into the Suns' head, we just lost it in two games. And now we have to go back in game five and win a game five, and Phoenix has a game six in their back pocket. That's where I think it's different. So I think they had pressure in game one and two to perform well, but they weren't. It wasn't do or die best. I think if it's 2-2, that game five, if then you want to talk percentages, I would love to see those percentages of who wins the series when you win a game five.
Yeah.
Right? When
still,
it's 2-2.
If that team that tied it at 2-2 started 0-2, it's still 7.3%.
Yeah. Potato.
I'd like to tell you it changes.
Yeah, potato. Listen. So again, I do think there's an opportunity for the Suns to do what people have done to them. Go out there and play this game on Friday. I'm not getting too far ahead of things. You got to take care of Friday. If you take care of Friday, the playoff thing happens. What we say, again, we say it all the time. When you win in the playoffs, you feel like you're never going to lose again. And when you lose, you feel like you're never going to win again. The Suns win Friday. Now they're, okay, we got some momentum. We prove we can beat this team. Now if we get one more on Sunday, yeah, it's a big game five in Minnesota. Another thing is it's not as easy as people think to win four home games in a series. Go back and look at the history. I mean, the Suns proved it. This was a home series against the Mavericks. We're at home, you're at home, we win, you win. And that decided game seven, Suns couldn't win that game seven at home. So it's hard to beat a team four times in the same place. We'll see what happens.
So I'm not counting the Suns out entirely with this series here whatsoever. And I was talking to some people from Minnesota today, and they were saying, you know, as much as the fan base is really hype and excited about the game one and game two, because they kind of have done a 180 similar to us. They kind of thought they had the short end of the stick within this series, right? So them going up 2-0 on the Suns has been incredibly exciting time for them, as it should be. They should be stoked right now. But there are a couple people who still have some hesitation. A lot of people are not buying into the sweep idea whatsoever from Minnesota. They know that their defense will travel, but they have questions like, to what level will this defense travel? Especially from an individual perspective. Like, sorry, now I can't even think of his name. Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
Completely blanked on that one for a second. How many more games in this series are we going to get that level of a performance from him? Are there going to be a couple games where he maybe, you know, drops down 25-30% on what he's able to do in those games? You know what I mean? So there are a ton of people in our chats and on social media who are calling for a sweep, but there's also a lot of people who are not willing to go that far just yet from the Minnesota side of things. But
I believe you have access to this polling data, this advanced thing that I use as well. Have you been on Twitter and seen any of these Minnesota fans? Most of them that I have encountered are not very concerned about the defense traveling. They're just concerned about the flight back from Phoenix to Minnesota with a sweep, because that's all I'm hearing on Twitter. And it's an echo chamber. They seem quite confident based on that polling. Have you seen that too, Saul?
I have not, because basically, listen, I'm trying to keep it simple right now. I'm going to post and I'll probably just get off. Every now and then I'll peruse the notifications, because I'm exhausted by it all. And I don't say that to be disrespectful about anything, and this is our job and it's cool and everything like that. But like, the mental gymnastics to try and figure out, you know, what this team is about, what they're going to be like, what they're going to show up on Friday like, you know, and the scenarios and all this other stuff, like, I'm just going to take it game by game, because the players would do the same thing. So that's what I'm going to do.
You should do what I do. I don't give a shit until they're one game away from the season being open. That ain't happening yet. When the Suns have three losses in the series, that's when you're going to see a different flex.
What the fuck have we been seeing so far?
Only two.
Have you seen this guy watch these games? Only two. Oh, by the way, y'all.
That's called fandom.
By the way, I need to put this guy on blast. Yesterday, he's standing up the entire first half. We go up, we take the lead at halftime, it's all good. Come back from halftime, and this dude's sitting down, and they go on a fucking run. I blame the whole game on Flex.
Hold on, he did call me out on it though.
He did call me out.
Hold on.
Get your ass up, man. Start playing defense.
Not only was he standing up, first of all, Mr. Back Surgery over here. Not only was he standing up, but he was standing up all hunched over, like, let's go, moving back and forth. And I'm like, bro,
he was playing
your back
defense.
Don't hurt.
I was playing defense.
Hold on. If you're going to throw shade at him, Lindsay was sitting in an entirely different space of the building, away from the crowd for that second quarter when they made the run. Guess where she was sitting?
Right next to me.
That third. Right there. I was not okay with that either. I blame Lindsay and Flex.
I mean, to be fair, I sat down before Flex did, so I feel like he threw off the juju.
She did.
That's when they came up with their old get-rich-quick scheme. Okay.
Yeah. No,
communication was off. You guys need to talk about
this. Our communication was off.
We're going to get it figured out. Friday, this shit's going to be right. We'll figure it out, Lindsay. Yes. We'll be better. I'll play defense for 48 minutes.
There you go. And I'll sit in the same spot for 48 minutes.
And we'll get it done. But no, seriously, I this team is too up and down. So until they're on a light, what I call a life support game, where your season's on the line, I just can't trouble myself with the mental gymnastics, because,
it's exhausting.
Yeah,
it is.
If they go 2-2, I'm going to be sitting here like, why did I waste those hours being pissed off? It's 2-2.
Yeah.
I'm
here for the mental gymnastics.
If you want to watch Flex play defense for 48 minutes and me sit in the same spot for 48 minutes while we take in game three, come join us out at Gila River Resorts and Casinos for a watch party.
And I'm not going to get up and talk to anybody. You should come out and see it.
Well, Espo just said that I'm not allowed to move, apparently, throughout the game. And Flex is only allowed to move. He's not allowed to sit still. So we're just trying to help the basketball juju here. You know,
man,
we're doing whatever we
like
can
Lindsay.
To help the Suns. Maybe they'll help themselves. But either which way, honestly, come hang out with us for our watch party on Friday out at Gila River Resorts and Casinos, Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino specifically. We'll get there around 6:30. Tip off is at 7:30. All of our shows pre and post game will be from out there as well. We've had pretty good luck
Yeah.
Out at the Gila River watch parties this season, and they're always a great time. Win or lose.
I don't want to talk about this on there, but
don't
jinx. if we win Friday, all right, we'll talk about this later. We got to win. Friday's a good thing. We at Gila River. We don't really lose at Gila River. Last time we played Minnesota at Gila River, we played well. And the energy's great. So I think we're going to win Friday.
He's going to get real super. He ain't going to leave Gila River.
I'm telling y'all.
He's going to be there all the way through.
I'm telling y'all. On Sunday, I might be at Gila River. I might have got the wrong address.
I might. If I was visiting, watching the game with us, I think if we lost the game, and I advise everybody to keep this in mind, you should just leave like several seconds before the end of the game, because I do feel like Flex is going to do some wild stuff.
You just gave my selling point a bad grade, and that's what you come with?
And for 3.5 quarters, you're good.
Come hang out with us, but leave before the game ends.
Flex might throw a chair.
I don't know. In the first two, you could have left as a fourth quarter starter. You would have missed.
Oh my God.
It might get dangerous if shit gets
No, guys, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're going to win game three. It'll be fine.
No, we'll be good. Yeah,
but also... if you have not signed up for our friends over at the BetMGM Sportsbook app, now is a great time to do so, because they want to hook you up. When you sign up using the promo code PHNX, all you got to do is place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the BetMGM Sportsbook mobile app of at least $10, and you will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if the bet loses. Again, that is code PHNX. And make sure you check out their Grand Slam jackpot promotion that is happening throughout the MLB season. All you have to do is place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run every weekend, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if the player hits a grand slam on that day, then you can win the $50,000 daily prize or a share of the prize with every other winning bettor. You can check out the show notes for full details. And now you can listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Get stuffed, Ontario. Saul, I owe you an apology.
What is it?
I was looking at your bank account earlier.
First of all.
Whoa, you gotta explain that.
Are you apologizing
bro?
For hacking my shit?
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
All right.
And I saw that you could use $200, and I got away from you to get that.
You asked for this earlier. All just right. Remember that. Okay. All
right. So we got this recorded. If I have any missing, we know where it
happened. Well, I didn't take anything.
Don't just you worry incriminate about that. Yourself, man.
I'm just trying to get you. I keep doing that with this particular.
You do.
It's our friends over at Desert Financial Credit Union. They can help you out, Saul. They got $200 for you when you sign up for a checking account online. And for more than 84 years, our friends at Desert Financial have been the Arizona's largest and most trusted local credit union, dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial solutions that make lives better. The Desert Financial team are financial experts who are committed to their members and the community, offering financial solutions tailored to helping real people achieve their financial goals and dreams. Look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and more. Join a credit union that is committed to giving back to the community and sharing success with its members. So when you open a free checking account online, Saul, this is for you. Pay attention. Get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200.
There you go. All right.
Can I pull back the curtain a little bit? Saul,
I don't
earlier
know.
Today,
should you?
Saul earlier today goes to me, you know, you can... You
I gave him some constructive criticism.
Yeah. He said, you don't have to always turn to Flex or Jail. You could talk to Lindsay and I during ad breaks. So he asked.
No, that's not what I said. Usually what he does is when he knows it's his time, he only asks one person. He only goes to one person.
To be fair, it always seems to be whoever's in that specific chair.
Have you noticed that?
It's usually
that chair.
That's true. So you got to distribute the rock more.
I got my favorite.
Be a better point guard.
You got to be more Chris Paul.
Trust your teammates.
What I'm saying is, watch out next act break.
I feel like I got junior high school flashbacks where our point guard just passed to one guy. Yeah, I said that. Duran.
What's his name?
Gerard.
You called Gerard. Was he only left or only right guy? I hated those
point guards. They're both lefties, so they had that lefty bond.
Mm. Yeah, but what I mean is, you ever play with a point guard who always looks one way and just ignores the other side?
Well, I lost the game like that.
I hate it.
I had 33 points in the second half of the game, and this fucking point guard could not look to his left to save his life, and we lost the game.
So why didn't you just move to his right?
Okay.
Because the play wasn't designed to go that way.
Let's get this show back on rails. Dylan sent us a super chat. Thank you, Dylan. They said, it is not a series until a team wins on the road. Yeah. And if the Corgi is right, I'm stealing it and using its magic for other things. Please, Suns, win. Dylan, Corgi does have that. The Corgi had us going down two and then coming back and winning the next four.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
if that dog is right, we are adopting it and making it the mascot of the Suns. Well, I'm sorry, Go.
You're gonna have to steal it, like Dylan said.
Well, I mean, we can put together a crew.
Yeah.
He wants to get in trouble really bad.
I suppose, like, put me out of my misery. Yeah. Throw me in jail, please.
You're incriminating yourself, man.
I got a good lawyer. I got a good lawyer.
No, you don't. I know Justin. No, he's not that good.
Oh, no. Not Jay taking their
Jay. He's the best lawyer with a man bun that I can find, all right?
You taking strays right now, man.
Psycho Blue sent us a super chat as well. Psycho Blue said, basketball Cthulhu misses winning. Gerald might need to ask Ishbia what the vibes are for Friday and what'll be done about it.
Listen, can I say something about this again?
Sure.
I have zero problems with what Matt Ishbia has done in the last year.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are saying that he destroyed this team. He tried to get him a championship. Yeah. You might fail sometimes. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't put this on Ishbia's shoulders.
So. No, I don't understand that logic.
I mean, I think everybody technically has a hand in the pot in some capacity, mm-hmm. but I would say probably more on the players and the coaching staff at this point.
Yes.
You've just maybe.
He put his money where his mouth was. He made he greenlit the moves that are costing him hundreds of millions mm-hmm. of dollars. And in what the front office and the team looked at and said, this is going to get. We think is going to get us where we want to go. I don't blame ownership in any way.
I felt like 99% of the people wanted him to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And now they're acting like they didn't want it. But yeah.
The only people that didn't want it is the ones that had an affection attachment to Mikhail and Cam. That's it. Those are the only people. But outside of that, everybody wanted KD.
Right. So that's a small majority.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. Let's hear from the players from last night. We did get a few updates from Gerald in the post-game show, but we're going to dive a little bit more into this here. First and foremost, we'll start with Devin Booker and where his frustration is coming from.
My frustration is just, you know, within the team. You know, we need to execute. You know, we play well when we're playing well, and then you know, we need to stick together once things turn bad. And like I said, we've done that throughout the season. So, you know, something that has to be corrected.
So my frustration is within the team.
Mm-hmm. You can't say it any clearer.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think he's calling a spade a spade. He's out there talking. The team's got to play better, mm-hmm. you know, and he's included. I don't think he's isolating anybody. I think he's saying as a team, as a collective group, they got to play better. And they all got to be held accountable and they got to get it done. And he's kind of echoing what we said, you know, he just said it. When we're playing well, we're good. And when we're not, it's fucking atrocious. Mm-hmm. And so there's no middle ground. There's no gray area. It's black or white with this basketball team. You're either really good or really bad. And that's frustrating. And I think it's starting to weigh on Devin and some of the other people.
Yeah, I'm sure that locker room is not a fun place to be right now. No. Because I think they're all kind of feeling that same thing, that it's on us. It's not, you know, you can point your fingers a million places, but you realize, nope, it's these 15 guys in this room that are going to be able to get it done or not be able to get it done. So
yeah, I mean, there's a couple comments in the chat about additional things Book said. We're going to get to all of them because he did kind of seem to send a message in last night's post-game presser when he was asked about when the stability kind of seems to fall off. What are they missing to have that stability or overcome that adversity? And this is what he said.
Communication.
Can you just expand on the communication part specifically? Just what that entails? Who's talking?
Yeah, just talking to each other, holding each other accountable. You know, I've been saying it. We're all trying to fight out there. And, you know, so far in the series, once it's turned the ship, you know, we've kind of separated instead of being together. So, and that's everybody talked about. Something we got to figure out.
So separated instead of coming together, that's top to bottom. That speaks to a core issue, in my opinion. Like that's something bigger than just a little bit of adversity, a little bit of foul trouble, a little bit of whatever it may be. That feels like they got a kind of an issue going on.
When you get into the heat of battle like this and things are starting to get, a little tough. Like, that's when you find out what other players are made from, right? Like, mm-hmm. What they're all about. And none of these guys have played in the playoffs with each other outside of Book and KD, right? So they're all kind of learning this on the fly. Mm-hmm. I will give them that.
Yeah.
But I think what Book is really trying to point to is, like, that is a fundamental flaw of this team. And it does start with the coaching staff and all the way down. Like, and I'm not saying it's just the coaching staff, because I feel like the players have just as much input into how your team is going to be led and how they communicate on the court as they do. But clearly he's feeling some type of way about the way that they do communicate on the court or don't. And really, maybe it's just not even just that, it's the feedback. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause I think just as much as you're telling a teammate, hey, you need to do this, da, da, da. Is that teammate just being like, all right, and then just walking off? Or is he like, I got you next time. Like, I'll do this next time or whatever. Are they receptive to that information? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Book would tell you it goes both ways. And is that happening across the board? Now, I would say this about Chris Paul. You know, I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about Chris Paul was the real leader of this team and so on and so forth. I think what Chris Paul did more than anything was he held guys accountable and instructed them where to go and what to do and why they fucked something up and where they should have been at and all that stuff. And I don't know if they're getting that same kind of critique from the players on this team as we speak now. And when you're looking at, that's why I would say that the one fatal flaw of the point Book or the point Beal situation is that they are not inherently point guards. And if you don't view the game through that prism and trying to develop it as you're going through it, it's a really difficult task, because there's a certain leadership quality and a certain coaching quality that you have to have as a point guard to instruct your team on what to do when things are falling apart. And I don't know if they necessarily have that on this roster.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. Listen, first of all, they don't have a Chris Paul. Okay, Chris Paul was absolutely unequivocally the leader of that team vocally and verbally.
Most teams don't have a Chris Paul.
Okay, Chris Paul had he's an acquired taste. Okay, and I will say this from having deep conversations with people that were on that team. Okay, there were times where Chris Paul weighed on them so heavy that they were frustrated.
Yeah,
right. But that frustration was in their private moments. But when they got on the court, that weighing that Chris weighs on you holds your ass accountable, because you don't want to hear it after the game. That's what Chris did. Chris will let you hear it. He'll let you sleep on it. When you have breakfast, you're going to get called about it. When you fucking have lunch, I'm going to remind you. That's what Chris did. And it weighed on some people, but they realized the benefit as they continued to win and grow. It was something that they need. Suns don't have that. With that said, there was a play. If you want to look it up, go to the second quarter. It was a play where the camera caught Devin Booker on defense. and you can see him saying, we have to fucking talk. Mm-hmm. We have to talk. Everybody talk, right? And so that's not the first time I've heard this year. Mm-hmm. And it's getting to the point where it's like, okay, is it going in one ear out the other? Because you just can't be at this point in the season and continue to relay the same message. At some point, it's getting lost in the translation somewhere.
I felt like this was the most honest we've heard.
Yeah.
This year. It was very raw. And I say this, and I'm going to put a caveat. I just think it's funny. I don't think it's necessarily an issue. But as he's talking about communication, we got all these things. Kevin Durant does not look up once. He's staring down the whole time, not even actively listening to Book when he's talking there, which I found ironic, because if communication is the big issue with this entire team, like, that just is a visual representation of it to me, where you're not actively listening as this guy's saying it too. But look, if communication is still a problem, you don't fix that in a handful of days, right? You don't fix that. I mean, communication.
It's fundamental, I think, at this point. If you're 84 games in and you're still working on that, it's a bigger issue.
That's a relationship. That's a bond that's built over time. That's not going to change. So what has to change is they're just going to have to win on pure talent like they have at other times this year if they're going to be able to pull it off, because you're not changing. Are we talking enough?
Or you witness a miracle, because Devin was also asked, what does it take to get through, you know, the crowd being against you, calls not going your way, your opponent going on a run, and surprise, surprise, this is what he said.
Just communication, you know, talk to each other. You know, that's when you have to be as close as ever. In a hostile environment on the road. Yeah, just talk your way through it. You know, hold each other accountable. Have the honest conversations, and you know, understand it's, you know, for the best of the team.
So what I'm hearing is communication is key. Communication is the issue. Communication needs to be had.
Honest conversations need to be had.
That was the part that stood out to me, because some people cannot handle honest conversations. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to just talk and converse between each other, especially on the court. But an honest conversation when somebody goes in the locker room and says, you are not doing your job. You are not carrying your part of this. You are doing this, or I'm not doing this, but I need you to do that. Some guys cannot handle that. And I'm wondering how much of the locker room problem is that too. The communication problem is that, because being held accountable is a difficult thing to deal
with. Well, especially with today's generation. I will say that too. Like the communication process of today's generation versus like even Chris Paul's generation are wildly different than it ever used to be. The getting in a player's face and screaming at him or you know, being very firm sometimes can be viewed as, oh, why are you attacking me? And some players don't like that stuff. And listen, here in this environment, in this office, hell, we've had conversations. Espo and I have had conversations behind closed doors, and they're not always pretty, and they're not always great. And sometimes it's constructive criticism going both ways. But at the end of the day, we know that we're trying to improve each other, and we're trying to improve the show and the company. And by doing so, it's a way of us lifting each other up. And I don't know if players really take that in and look at it from that perspective. And it's something that you have to constantly preach and preach and preach. And, you know, I don't know if there's enough time to really fix it by the end of the season.
There's a lot of dynamics involved in this. Like, there's not one person. Communication, this is across the board, 1 through 15. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just Devin or just Kevin or just Brad. You know, it's Eric Gordon, it's Grayson Allen, it's everyone, right? Everyone has to be on the same page. The problem is there's not enough sweat equity with this basketball team. And so I feel this apprehension. I feel like, you know, when you got that sweat equity, when you've been a war with guys so long, where you know, like I've had plenty of times playing ball with guys that I play ball with for a long time. They could come to me and say, hey, Flex, man, you shit in the bed, bro. What the fuck? And I'll take that, because there's enough sweat equity for me to know it's coming from a good place. This is complicated because I don't think these guys have enough reps, continuity, sweat equity, relationships. There's none of that. So when somebody says something, it's easy to perceive it as, man, why are you coming at me? Why are you attacking me? Like, why are you singling me out? And so that's where I think the problem lies. And at some point, I will say this, that is the most honest, frustrated, and confused I've seen Book in a long time. And I do think this is a good thing. I think that these guys are going to have these conversations. They're going to talk. I will say that I think after Christmas, there were conversations like this going mm-hmm. on. And they responded pretty damn well. I think you're going to see some pissed off dudes on Friday. Probably a good pissed off.
This has to be the come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
This has to be the either we talk it out, we figure out what's going on, air our grievances, our frustrations, and we put our heads down and work together.
Yeah.
Or we get bounced in the first round. Like, those mm-hmm. are your two options here. Yeah. But also, there's a couple people in the chat. Angel said, who's Book for KD to listen to him? Faj said, that or KD knows what the real problem is. And I think this goes beyond who is listening to who. Like, they're teammates.
Yeah, why are
they're
we making teammates? This a Kevin and Devin team. Only team?
It doesn't matter. But regardless of who it is, you're teammates. So no matter what the determined or undetermined pecking order may or may not be, I should be able to come to whoever is on my team if I'm seeing something. Like, we see IT out there all the time, has barely played any minutes with this team, hasn't even been around that long, but he should be able to talk to these guys because yeah. they're teammates. Ish Wainwright should be able to talk to them because they're teammates. Yeah. Frank Vogel, and from coaching staff down, should be able to talk to whomever yeah. because they're all on the same team, and communication styles are always going to be different. Like, what Chris Paul did may have worked for some guys on that team, and it may have not worked for other guys on that team, but that's where the others have to step in and figure out what is going to help it sink in? What is going to help that light switch flip where they go, oh, okay, now I get it. I got you.
If you're equating like status to whether or not you should listen to anybody, then Kevin Durant wouldn't listen to anybody in the league. Straight up.
The high
like,
status.
Yeah, man. I mean, not a coach, not an assistant coach, not another player. Like, everybody, great players want to be critiqued no matter what. Point blank. Like, and so I don't think that that's what the case is. And I don't think Kevin Durant would sit there and say, like, well, who the fuck is Devin Booker to be telling me what to do? Like, I don't think that at all. No. I don't even come close to thinking that because, you know, listen, not only Kevin Durant's respect for the game, let me just say this fucking right now, his respect for the game and his knowledge on the pecking order of the league, the history of the league and everything that's gone into it, it's almost disrespectful that you would say that who is Devin Booker to talk to KD, because KD respects his teammates. KD came here to play with Devin Booker, like, straight up. So, like, it's not about who's right or wrong, or it's not Devin versus Kevin. It's what is going on communication-wise behind
the board.
Yeah, across the board. It's not just Devin didn't even say anything about Kevin Durant.
No.
He didn't point him out. He didn't do any of that stuff. So, like, I think Kevin Durant is so far above that stuff, and he respects the players that he's playing with, and he's a quiet dude. He doesn't like to – he's not going to put anybody on blast in a press conference. I don't think Devin put anybody on blast. He kind of did it as a whole, and I agree with him. They got some fundamental problems that need to be addressed. And we – you guys included, want answers. We want to know what the hell's going on. So I'm not going to burn Devin because he said, you know, like, communication's trash. And I'm not going to burn Kevin Durant because he's sitting there and he's got his head down. He doesn't really have any talking points. It just is what it is.
Yeah, and he's probably looking at stat sheets.
He was
stuff.
Looking at stat sheets.
Yeah, that's what he does.
I just thought it was funny visually.
No, I'm not even talking about you. I'm just talking about, you know, that comment. It's out of pocket. It's disrespectful to Kevin Durant.
Lindsay's point, though, like, if you can't have a teammate come up to you and say, this is a problem, or we need to do this, or why are we doing this? If every guy on that roster can't go up to anybody else in there, I don't care who you are. I don't care how many rings you got. It shouldn't matter because you are 15 guys trying to accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through this for 84 games now. You should be able to say anything in that as long as you're respectful, right. I mean, and when you go up and you address it, you should be able to have that out in a locker room, have that conversation, try to get better, because everybody is trying to accomplish the same thing. At least you hope they're all trying to accomplish the same
thing. We're over here screaming, same team, same team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all on the same team.
Yeah. On the 2021 Suns that went to the finals, no one would argue that the two leaders or the top two players on the team were Devin Booker and Chris Paul, right? You know who can tell Devin Booker and Chris Paul when they're doing some bullshit? Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm. Right? Campaign. Mm-hmm.
Campaign. Right? There were guys on that team that can go to those guys. This is, guys, that comment is out of pocket. And yeah, you can't, it can't be that. I don't care who it is on this basketball team. Royce O'Neal should be able to come up to Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and say, man, we need to play better defense.
Right.
Yeah.
And it'd be accepted. If that can't happen,
then we got a
major issues.
This is already
and you may as well blow it all up, because that's unfixable at that point. If you are not allowed to have those conversations, top to bottom, coaching staff and players included, then we got bigger issues that we should be worried about. And who cares about game three at that point? I don't think that's the case, just to be clear.
I don't even know Kevin Durant. I've never spoken to him in person, but I just could never see him being like, who are you to tell me that?
No, he would never. He would never
do
that. No.
Like, man, that no way.
There's too much respect for those guys. And they again, I want to be clear. They were sitting next to each other on the podium. Devin's comments were about the overall outlook of the team. I know there's going to be people that are going to try to connect and say other things, but I mean, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah, that you're not sitting there next to a guy
calling
him out. You're saying, in totality, our communication, in particular on the court, isn't good enough. And we've talked about defense is all about communication.
Yeah.
So I that's where it's at.
Yeah. All right. We got a bunch of super chats to get to here. But real quick, Gene, just send a comment. We got two super chats from you, but you didn't have anything in there. Just drop a normal comment in the chat and we'll find that and we'll read it for you. But before we do super chats, I do want to remind you guys, since the Suns are coming back into town, if you're trying to get some tickets, make sure you check out our friends over at Game Time. Game Time is the best place to get last minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, etc. They also have flash deals and zone deals. So the flash deals, you can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on selected seats ahead of the game or event. With the zone deals, you can save more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the actual seat. So that's always a great option for you over on Game Time. Of course, some of my favorite function of Game Time is the all-in pricing. You toggle the feature and it shows you the total upfront with no surprise fees at checkout. And of course, the seat views, because you can see in the app exactly what your view is going to look like from the seat before you buy. And honestly, that's one of the best things that I think that Game Time offers. And of course, the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply, but again, create an account and redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Lindsay, do you know why Saul and I are dressed like this today?
I do, but tell me more.
We are headed out to Four Peaks for our Big Coyotes event tonight. It is a one-pack, a celebration of the Coyotes community. We are going to go out there, enjoy some food, enjoy some beverages at the Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. And all the proceeds, all the donations tonight are going to the Arizona Kachinas, a great youth hockey organization here in town. With the Coyotes leaving, they need all the support they can get, and we're happy to support them. And Four Peaks is happy to as well. They've opened their doors to us tonight. And while you're there, try a Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale, a collab between Four Peaks and Bad Birdie. Super drinkable and the perfect companion at the tee box or in your fridge or at a Coyotes event tonight. So visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, but please enjoy responsibly. And the food, anybody any age can enjoy that.
Absolutely. All right. Super chats. Gene, we got your super chat. Thank you so much. They said, I live in Sweden and I wake up at 3 a.m. to watch the Suns. To see your team go down like that is heartbreaking. I hope these guys come out angry and hungry on Friday. Just be ready to play. Shout out to you for one, getting up at 3 a.m. to watch Suns games, and two, joining us here all the way from Sweden. Yeah. That's amazing.
Respect.
Appreciate the love, and I agree with you. The Suns need to come out with a little oomph on Friday.
Absolutely. Do you know what the Swedish currency is called?
What is it?
It's a krona. I just found that out.
It's nice.
I didn't know. I thought it was fish.
A corona?
The Swedish fish.
You said a corona, dog? Is that what it's called?
All right.
Corona.
Oh, K-R. I thought you said a corona, bro. I'm like, they get the money out there.
Tim sent us a super chat, and they said, Flex, I'm with you. Keep up the positivity.
I love it. Let's go, Tim.
David sent us a super chat, and David said, per chat, you build a winning culture and continuity by trading everyone, firing everyone, and starting over every year when it doesn't work out exactly like you hoped. That's how Denver did it, right?
That's funny.
That's what I remember, David. I don't know.
That's funny.
I thought they skipped all the steps in Denver, right?
Be calm, see clearly. You can rely on one of these guys to be
reading.
I'm not reading that.
Our friend Be Calm, See Clearly says, see what happens when I do. Oh my God.
Oh, you didn't read it.
I didn't read the last part.
I ain't reading that, Chuck.
Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead.
Let me make this clear. I'm quoting Be Calm, See Clearly. Quote, see what happens when I don't eat Devin's booty?
End
quote.
Hey, man, I'm not
okay, Kendall.
Man.
You're on one, buddy. You are on one.
Oh, on God. One.
Lord have mercy.
On one.
Talk about the cheeks clinic.
Cedric sent us a super chat and said, on League Pass camera, Beal was yelling at Frank Vogel hard. So this happened late in the game yesterday, and Gerald Bourget, our fifth member of our program here, did ask both Bradley Beal and Frank Vogel about this. Vogel said it was just kind of talking about the game being, you know, in the heat of the moment and demonstrative. Mm-hmm. Beal echoed the same sentiment. It wasn't that the two of them were going toe-to-toe and angry about something specific to the two of them. It was more just having the conversations
basketball.
About the games.
Yeah.
You can believe that as much as you want or not, but that's what both
that.
Of them
no,
said.
No, I believe
and I
that.
See that.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on the court. You've been on the court. Coach is saying something. I'm like, yo, this ain't fucking working, coach. And the coach is like, well, fucking do it this way. Like, they're not talking. When I'm not talking at the coach, he's not talking at me. I'm just saying. No, you feel me, right?
I swear, man. I just had PTSD.
Listen,
man.
I get it because when I am passionate
I
about something.
I missed the jumper. And my coach is like, fucking make a jumper. And I turn around and say, don't you think I'm fucking trying?
That happens a lot more than people think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not personal.
Yeah. But also, it could just be your personality in the moment, too, right? If you get real passionate about something, you just yell sometimes. But I'm not yelling at you.
Yeah.
I'm just yelling about the situation.
Yeah.
Very well could be that. Psycho Blue sent us another one, and they said, Flex, given all the vet talent, do you think the communication issue is due to the older guys not hearing it from younger players or younger guys like Book?
I hope
No, I just, like I said, I don't think there's enough sweat equity. I don't think there's enough relationships, enough bonding with this basketball team. And so I think when somebody says something, there's a little bit of thought of, is this disingenuous? Are you, do you got your own agenda? Or are you just saying this because you want it? So yeah, I don't think it got anything to do with age or status on the team. I just think it's a complete disconnect with this basketball team right now.
You guys are hilarious in the chat today with that comment. Brian sent us one and said, Espo has better jokes when he quotes others. Laughing face
Damn.
Emoji.
Damn, Espo.
Brian, that was brutal.
Damn, Brian.
Brutal. Yeah.
See what happens. Never mind.
Exactly. Buddha the Schizo sent us one and they said, 390 people watching and only 42 likes. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, get those
yeah,
up.
Come man. On, y'all. Hit that like button. Give us a thumbs up. Emperor Day One Roy said, Could IT be impactful if he got minutes?
No.
Not nah, as impactful as I think nah, a lot of people would hope nah, it to be.
No, not at this point in the year, no.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on. We also heard from KD and Frank Vogel last night. We'll start with Kevin Durant on what he had to think about in the second half when the Timberwolves started to really extend the lead and how he assessed that.
We're trying to figure it out. More than anything, they just played great ball, you know. We're trying our best to, you know, get out of those little slumps when we, you know, blowing a 7-8-0 run. But I think we still try to put ourselves in position to win there. We've had to like 13, like 12, but we just can't get over that hump. So this team's been killing us in the third with those runs, so we gotta figure that out.
Yeah, that third quarter. Yeah, that third quarter's been rough. That's where they've lost the games. They can't get in the third quarter and don't want to go back to Chris Paul, but that was what Chris Paul used to do. Chris Paul could see things starting to slide, and he would elbow, slither through the lane, shoot a little midi, get Book an open look, weather the storm. We don't have nobody to do that right now. We really don't. It's crazy to think about it. With all the talent we got, we really don't have a guy that is – as skilled as Chris Paul psychologically in these spots to just weather the storm and say, okay, we're going to cut that in the bud after a 6-0 run and get us two easy ones.
Just look across the court, Mike Conley.
Yeah.
He did that last night for the Timberwolves. Yeah. He was a big reason for that. And in particular, I believe in that second quarter when they made that run to cut it to one right before halftime. Like, there's value in those guys that are bench guys. And I think that may be the fundamental flaw in this whole thing, is that I think the bench was severely undervalued in the way you put it together. And the pieces that, sure, they may not be stars, but they have impact in key moments, right? And we've seen it with Minnesota. You don't really have that guy in Phoenix or those guys in Phoenix. And I think that could be the biggest downfall.
I disagree. I think when shit starts to go south, you do what everyone does to get a little bit of energy. Release the roller coaster, like Ashley put it in the chat. Especially at home.
That's going to happen. You're right.
Bull out there. The crowd's going to get amped. Bull's going to be hype. His teammates are going to be hype. Why not?
That is why not?
For two games. I don't know why not.
Especially with the turnaround that Bull had from the start of the season to the end of the season. Like, he's been solid.
Grayson Allen's been hurt in two straight games. There would be no better reason to bring in Bull off the bench for a spot minute or two than the last two games, and they still didn't do it. I don't know why. I don't understand it. I know he's a defensive liability, but he gives you some juice. And right now, you need some fucking juice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to happen at home. Bobo's going to play both these games. Watch.
Yeah, but if he plays both
these
games.
And it's
going to
frustrate me, and he's not going to play
game five. He's not
going to
play in game five. Like, but dude, what
if he
hell?
Comes out and plays well, it's going to frustrate me to all hell that he didn't get any minutes in the first two games. Because he's
better
a big,
late than never, I suppose. Mean,
true, but he's a big, big guy, too. It's height-wise, right? What are you giving up to this team? Height. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why this seems like, and I think Gerald said this the other day, this seems like a logical matchup to use Bol Bol in, and yet they've been pretty staunch on, nope, we're sticking with this
Tell
handful
me
of guys.
A three that gets you more hype than Bol
Bol.
One from Bol.
A dunk. A big rebound. Everything he does gets you hyped up.
Yeah. Everything.
You know what the irony is? Is that we may win, if we win the series, if we're able to make this 2-2 and come back, and the master move was to just play Bobo, considering what we were saying about Bobo in the preseason, and do you believe that we're in a world that Bobo could be the deciding factor to swing the series?
I'm surprised, but I'm super stoked for that.
I am too.
Like,
I love that
for Bol and the plot and the storyline and his kind of career trajectory.
Can I be honest though? Yeah. I think that's also just what you just said there shows how desperate we feel in a moment too, where we're clinging on to, can Bol Bol be the guy that saves this series, especially Frank didn't even. No, I know. I was talking about
from like a bench perspective. I'm not saying Bol Bol needs to be KD Booker Beal.
No, I know. But Flexen said if he can, if he's a big part of why they turned the tide, that's just. This is a team that has a big three, and we're going, man, I hope Bol Bol can make the difference on that bench that shifts things. I mean,
yeah.
Look, there's a lot of things, and I hope Frank throws him out. I want to see what he can do.
Yeah. All right. We also heard from Frank Vogel. He was asked about keeping their composure and if that's been something they have battled through throughout the season.
Not really. We've been a pretty poised group, you know, throughout the course of the season. Came back in a lot of fourth quarters when we've been down. Stayed locked into the game, you know. But, you know, the emotions are higher in the playoffs. And the NBA playoffs will test your emotional stability, right? And we got to make sure that as our first time going through this together as a group, and when we face adversity, okay, we have to respond to it. And we didn't handle it well enough tonight. You know, we'll learn from it and be better going forward.
The beginning of that comment, that they've been consistent and resilient throughout the season. Did he forget all these fourth quarter? Like, it seemed like some revisionist history going on there. I know they had a couple fourth quarter comebacks, but this team has struggled with resiliency throughout this year. They have not been an automatic team that you feel, hey, they're down by 15, they're down by 20, going into a fourth, they're going to win this game, right? Mm. They haven't been that kind of team. Now, I get a second part of his quote talking about, and you brought this up too, not enough sweat equity. You haven't done this. First time they're going through the playoffs. Those are all well and good, but come on. This is a team that's struggled with composure all year. Let's not, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, don't tell me it's a dinosaur, right? I mean, that's just where we're at.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one, but maybe they do need to learn to keep their composure a little bit.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a canned response.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we hear our last soundbite here, if you haven't been to Illegal Pete's lately, what are you doing? You're missing out, because Illegal Pete's also has a killer promotion going on. Their legendary soundcheck deal. So with this deal, you bring in your ticket stub from any ticketed event and you get a draft beer or house margarita for just a penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's pregame or a postgame party. They got you covered on all your game day needs. Now, you must purchase an adult entree to redeem the Illegal Pete's soundcheck deal, but I can tell you, their entrees are bomb, and there's going to be something on their menu that you are going to fall in love with. And of course, my pro tip is always get double corn on whatever that is. But Illegal Pete's, they've got margaritas, they've got delicious food like bowls, tacos, salads, burritos, nachos, a full bar with custom cocktails and beers, and of course, piping hot queso. So Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
So double corn in my beer. I got it.
Double Thank corn you. In your beer.
It's got the juice.
Flex, so Friday, we're going to be out at Gila River.
Did he tell you to distribute casinos. Better?
No, I'm messing around.
I'm hitting it. God, I'm passing it wrong.
My bad.
Man,
Flex is like the Suns in the third quarter. Just forgot what was happening.
Yeah, maybe everybody shouldn't have an opinion in the locker room. Right, maybe I need to change my stance.
That's my bad, man. I'm like EG right now, man.
You know what? Espo, you know we're going to be on Friday? We're going to be at Gila River Resort 16. Why, that's right, Espo. That is great. And we do have a watch party. Oh, I'll be out there. I will too. Oh, that's right. It's a watch party Friday, 6:30 p.m. Phoenix versus Minnesota. It's the Suns. It's the Timberwolves. It's game 3. Get your ass out there. It's going to be a lot of fun because nobody does it better than Gila River Resorts and Casinos. They offer an authentic and immersive experience, and they have the best gaming floor in the business. I'm not just going to say in the state. I'm not going to just say in the United States. I'm going to say in the damn world. That's how much I like their gaming floor at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. But that's not the best part. The best part is the food. They've got casual. They've got upper class. They got middle class. They got whatever you need. It's great food. That's not the way I meant to say it, but I'm going to stick with it. It's unbelievable food. You should check it out with us on
Friday.
Land
the plane.
Head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what next level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit play@gila.com for more details.
I just had a turnover. That's my bad.
Oh, you threw that six rows into the stands.
Yeah, I did. I turned
friend.
That over. That's mine. That's all me. See, no, I got better mental focus. I got to communicate better.
Can I read James Johnson's super
chat? Sure.
James Johnson with the $5 super chat said, start young. Bring that French guy outside of the lane. Also, if we go home early, do you all think Bud is a good replacement? Go PHNX. I'm going to smoke a lot of weed if they go home early.
I think that might be part of the problem right now.
I mean, listen, man.
Bud would be a great replacement.
Yeah, but it would be. I assume you're talking about Mike Budenholzer, okay, but I'm a
talking about
that.
That's what we're talking
about. That's what he's saying. Sorry, joking.
Yeah, we're just joking.
Wait, hold on. Did I misinterpret this one again?
I'm going to say no to that.
Yeah, I'm not on Bud.
No.
Just listen, if we should come to this point where we do get eliminated in the first round, there will be no doubt as to who I want as the next coach. That's all I'm saying.
And we're going
to
talk about it this offseason. We'll get there. We'll get there. But thank you for your support.
You can't even remember his fucking ad reads. What are you talking about? Hey.
Enslow sent us a super chat as
no.
well.
Right.
Enslow said, playoffs are all about adjustments. Are you able to share one adjustment Vogel has that resulted in a positive impact? Can we talk about it?
I will say this, in this series. In the first quarter, they tried to do the same thing where they threw Towns up against KD. And the Suns didn't fall into the trap too many times of playing one-on-one. They tried to at least get some action at the top. They tried a little bit of pick and roll to get a little bit of movement and give some variety. So that was one adjustment. And didn't really pay off immediately, but towards the end of the first quarter and going into the second quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, it did pay off. So that was one good adjustment that I would give them.
I'm reaching deep, but I did like that he used his challenge earlier in that game last night. Then nothing infuriates me more than when a coach just sits on that, because any play can be that play that swings a game.
He did sit on that ball that got dribbled off of Nasri's foot.
And that was a big play.
That could have been early.
And that was like in the middle of a run for the Wolves. Yeah. So
that was a big play.
Okay, fine. Frank Vogel has not made an adjustment I like then.
I mean, listen, I know we talked about it last night. Like, there's a balance of arguing with officials versus not. But I would rather Frank do more of that than the players. And I felt like that shifted a little bit. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but there's that.
I think it was a minor adjustment that I wanted to see was you had Towns on KD to start. And I thought that they needed to get Book and KD in pick and roll so that they can kind of switch that a little bit and get Book going downhill against Towns. And I saw it in spurts. There were a couple times that they did it. I would have liked to see it a little bit more, but that was a subtle adjustment that I liked that they really didn't necessarily do in game two. Maybe they'll, you know, add a little bit more to that and maybe wrinkle in Brad in that spot too. So.
All right. Our final soundbite comes from Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And this was in response to what their message to Suns fans was.
And don't count us out. You know, it's a series for a reason. I don't think any road team's won so far. You know, I know that doesn't have anything to do with us, but, you know, it's just the situation that it is.
Kevin?
I can't give up on us right now. Shit, we didn't want anything. I've been disappointed last couple games, even the season, been too, you know, for our fans. But shit, we need you more than ever now. I'm coming back home for game three.
I like that.
It's true.
I'm not mad at anyone.
It's true. We dog on these players when they play bad, when they play poorly. We're hard on the coaching staff. We tear down even people like Matt Ishbia for trying to win a championship and doing what they can. It is our duty as fans to hold up our end of the bargain and show up to these games and show up with a lot of enthusiasm and be loud. Whether you like it or not, you can't call out other people if you're not going to be in that arena and do something that you're expecting them to do, which is provide effort. right?
Yep.
And you got to provide effort. If you're going to that game, you got to stand up. You got to scream. You got to shout. You got to cheer on your team. And when they're going through a little lull, and it looks like they're going through a little lull, you got to stand your ass back up again and rally the troops and get them going. And I think that's the one thing that I wish that our crowd would do a little bit better is when they see them going into a lull, instead of groaning and moaning, stand up and cheer them on and try to get them back on track, because sometimes that works. I've seen it happen a million times. Like, so that's I like the messaging, and I think that that's what fans have a responsibility to cheer on their team if they're going to be in that arena, because you can't call people out if you're not going to do the same thing.
Correct. Friday is more about civic pride, franchise pride, than what's happened in these first two games. You want to be embarrassed by the Minnesota fans? You want to make them look like they're a better basketball city than Phoenix is? You're going to do that if you don't cheer loud, if you don't have an impact on this game. Because you know what Minnesota did in game one and game two? Those Timberwolves showed up and showed out, those fans did. They made it very clear that they were there and they wanted to win just as much as anybody else in that building. And that's our duty as Suns fans for game three, is to go out there, cheer loud, and prove that we want it. And maybe the players will show up and reciprocate that. And if they don't, it's not about that. It's about you showing pride for us as fans and as the city. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I'm a go a little Johnny Cochran here. Give me some gloves. No, I'm messing around. No.
I mean, you want to read BCOM and see clearly his new one? Are we going there again?
If the seat don't fit, you must quit.
No. I'm seeing. So, no. Real talk. Listen. Why you steal my thing, man?
Were you going to go?
No. Yeah, listen, man, when your team gets hit, you must not quit. God damn it, okay? Your team just got hit. Don't quit. I'm not touching that damn thing that's on that board.
Should I?
No, I'm not touching that thing. No, real talk, the Minnesota Timberwolves fans have earned my respect. They really have. They went out there, man, and they sat there with this team, and they sat on an entire week of hearing people in that Minnesota media say they're going to get dog walked. They're going to get dog walked. I'm sorry. And they didn't fall for it. They went in that gym. They got loud. They fought with their team. There was a time yesterday where it looked like the Minnesota Timberwolves were going to kind of fall back into that trap. The Suns looked that they were building some momentum, and that fan base kept them going. So, yeah, it's time for y'all to man up now. Get in that building and match the energy of that Minnesota fan base, and I think this Phoenix Suns team will be fine. And I'm not even looking at that damn
James
board.
Johnson sent us a super chat, and they said, amen, Saul. I mean, listen, it might be some of the last games you get to watch this season, so at the very least, if you're going, enjoy it. Have a good time.
I'll read this
No, I got it. Enjoy it. I got it. I'm about to get sued by the Jim Henson
company. Are we going to read this?
Don't put it on screen. I'll just read it.
Are we? Hey, real quick, this is a disclaimer. If you have children in the car, it's not that bad. But if you want it, if you don't want to explain things, maybe this is the time where you just turn that volume down.
Should I skip it or should I read it?
Read it. Just read it.
This team needs rub down during halftime. Just don't touch my man. I'll do Devin's. We get right at home, I promise. Hashtag book, heart, become heart.
Oh, man.
Jim Henson Company. My name is Flex from Jersey, a.k.a. Felix Cruz.
Hey!
Send your lawsuit there.
I live it.
Oh, man.
Outrageous.
Yo,
be calm.
Whoever that is, be calm.
You out of control. Ooh. Out of control. But it was funny. I'm not going to lie. It made me laugh a little
bit. Be calm is on.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. We appreciate you as always. Hit that thumbs up button. If for nothing else, the fact that Espo read both of those super chats today. And if you're listening wherever you get your podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. We will not have a show for you tomorrow. That is going to be our off day, but that does not mean that PHNX doesn't have a bunch of stuff going on, aka our NFL draft party and all the coverage around that. So if that's your cup of tea, make sure you check all of that out. If not, and you are strictly a Suns fan and basketball fan, we will be back on Friday. We'll have a pregame show for you 30 minutes before tip-off. Of course, the watch party as well, and then the postgame show. And until we see you next time, Give the show a follow on social at PHNX_Suns. You can also follow me at Lindsay Smith AZ. Follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Flex at Flex from Jersey. And you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
I apologize if I just ruined your children's childhood. Ahoy, ahoy.